Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to talk about endure the race this morning. Amen. Because we're in a race of life and we're in a spiritual race. And so God has called us to be people of endurance. If I were to ask you if you've ever endured anything, if you're above 3 years of old, you have. Amen. But endurance is what we want to talk about today. I feel like God has put this upon my heart. And so let's notice the word of God, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Father, I praise you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that you would anoint your servant, God, to speak your word, anoint all of us to hear, Lord, and I pray that your name above all names would be glorified this day. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Like I mentioned, we are running a race of life, a race we must not lose, a race of faith, a long race, a race that requires endurance. And Jesus endured life in humanity. He left the glorious splendors of heaven to a perfect heaven where there was no sin and nothing wrong in heaven, and came to earth. Amen. The Bible tells us that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we know that he did come down from his glory on high and become humanity, and to live a life and to die a sacrificial death on the cross, and he would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And so Jesus endured a lot of things too. He endured humanity when he came here. And he came to a people that was filled with sinful lifestyles and sinful pursuits. And Jesus came to a nation, to a people who were religious but not saved, religious but lost. And we live in a world today that's full of religion. You say, well, the whole world needs to pray. The whole world does pray. They just don't all pray the same God or the one true God. And so it's a religious world that we live in. You can go to any country on the planet, you can find religious people. But there's a difference. And the reason Christianity is persecuted so much is because it does not embrace every religion. Man. And it was said before even this service, it's been said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that makes Christianity exclusive of any other, excludes any other way to God except through Christ. And people want to laugh at that, laugh if they want to, but God has called us to live for him, and this world needs the truth of the gospel that will change people's lives. Amen. And you know, there's some people endure things willingly. And there's some things you will endure if you are humanity. And there's some people you endure. Some preachers endure congregations, and some congregations endure preachers. I think I got it level there, don't I? On both sides? Okay, we got it. Years ago, there was a young man that came to our church where I grew up in, and I was just a kid, or I was a teenager, on the edge of teenager. You know, when you're 11, you think you're a teenager. Anyway. And he was to be a preacher, and so he was a youth pastor for a while, and then he went to pastor a church. And he went to his first pastorate, had an enormous congregation of three. Three elderly women were all there was in that church. And so... his name was Keith, and Keith was married to my pastor's daughter. And so my pastor told him, said, well, Keith, there's only one direction you can go with that kind of congregation, that's up. The first year he was there, two of those three died. He had to endure some things, but you know, he was faithful. He preached for a year to that one woman that would come to his church. My friend, that's endurance, and that's faithfulness, and it's a great picture of being obedient to God. Thank God for that. But you and I today, we're in a state of endurance presently with the coronavirus. And most things we endure simply pass eventually, and I believe this will too. But spiritually, endurance is part of the Christian life. To stay focused, to be spiritually minded, to ignore all feelings of giving up because there's nothing to give up for. Man, and there can't be, I mean, if you're going to give up Jesus in heaven, my friend, you're living somewhere else besides here. Because heaven will be everything that we ever expected it to be and more than we can ever imagine. And so there's things, feelings of giving up come to people. People give up. Many people in the world commit suicide because they want to give up. Suicide is never, and I repeat, never, the answer. Amen. Don't murder yourself. Thou shalt not kill. That includes self-murder too. Don't do that. And don't let it even be something that you meditate on or consider an option. It's not. Amen. But we endure the race, and that's what we must do. Let's look at, first of all, what is endurance? In definition, it's the ability to withstand hardship or the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity, such as a marathon race. I've never tried to run a marathon, and I already know what the end would be before I ever started. It wouldn't be 26 miles, I can tell you that. Praise the Lord. I have to run the other side of Lindale from here. But endurance is permanent duration, and endurance is important. Maintaining positive outlook when there is bad news, when threats arrive, you endure, you don't stop. And let's look here at the scriptures that we read today and look about how to endure the race. Jesus, or the Word of God, tells us here, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And I disagree that the great cloud of witnesses is people that's going on, they're looking down on us. The great cloud of witnesses are all the heroes of faith in chapter 11, right before that. Amen. You say, well, that's chapter 11. This is chapter 12. Let me tell you, the Bible originally had no chapters and verses. And so the great cloud of witnesses is the testimonies of people in the 11th chapter that ought to inspire us to go on and to endure, because many of them endured. Praise the Lord. And so the first thing we want to do if we want to endure the race, we have to learn to lay aside everything that hinders us. And it says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I heard a preacher preach a message on dieting. And the name of his sermon was Lay Aside the Weight. I never did know what happened, but anyway. That's not what we're talking about this morning. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And by laying aside everything that hinders your walk and your race with God, runners in the Old Testament, even in the Olympics and back in that time in Greece and those type of things, it existed then too. But those that run had only the necessities. Sadly, some ancient Olympic runners ran naked. You know, I didn't know that streaking existed till the 70s. But anyway, here it means not to let anything keep you from running the Christian race and the race of Christian life. To lay aside things that hinder your spiritual life. And I can tell you, friend, there are hindrances out there. The enemy has got a whole list of things he wants to do to try to hinder your spiritual life. But the Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, because we can get our direction and we can get our focus on things of this life that are never the answer and get our focus off of God. And God tells us to lay aside some things in life that are not good for us. And God wants you to succeed spiritually. Yes, God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants you to be victorious. But to do so, it means laying aside some things that are hindering that. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible tells us some things to lay aside there. Ephesians 4:25, he says, therefore, put away lying, and let every man, each one speak the truth. Those are opposites there, lying and truth. And he says, speak the truth with your neighbor, for you are members one of another. Do not be angry and sin, or be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We live in an angry world. Have I ever been angry? Yes, I've been angry. A lot of times. And I had to refrain from hitting. I don't know, I've never really wanted to hit anybody. Not bad. My way of taking his anger was always to go outside somewhere and hit a tree or something like that. You know, well, that's better. But anger is something we all deal with. But it says in Ephesians here, don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. So we got to lay aside lying. We got to lay aside anger. And let him that stole steal no more. Matter of fact, we've got to take authority over the enemy of our soul and tell him to get out of your life and get out. You're not going to do what he says to do anyway. He's not going to stop bothering you, but I can tell you, you're not going to ever reach a place where you're never tempted. I want to tell you, the most holy person that ever walked the planet of this earth was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. That's the difference. He didn't ever yield to one. That was Jesus. And verse 29, it tells us here in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How you would like to announce that over all the broadcasts and all the every show, every movie, whatever. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. Edification means to building up or encouraging one another, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is grieved when we cave into the flesh and begin to entertain thoughts that are not right or not good. And we begin to hang on to earthly things that need to be gone. And the Bible tells us, let's just learn to lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. Because those things, if we don't lay them aside, after a while they begin to control our life and they begin to be a part of our life which don't need to be a part of our life. And if we don't lay aside the weight of fear, then fear becomes something that can characterize our life. Anxiety or worry, they can become weights of things that is not good for our spiritual life. And Jesus said, don't worry about anything. In Matthew chapter 6, he gives us a place there about worry. Several verses there. But worry doesn't do you any good. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. Kind of like in a rocking chair. Here it means anything that keeps you from running the Christian race of life. My friend, just keep on running this race of life. God will give you grace and strength when you wear out. He's not loose, or God does not have a lack of strength or a lack of power to give you, but God will give you the strength and the power to keep on running the race when things don't look good, when there's every excuse to lay it aside, when there's everything to make you stop, there's everything to make you worry, there's everything to keep you from enduring. I want to tell you, God will give you the power and the strength to endure. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is not just for witnessing. It's to give you power to witness, but it's also to give you power to run this Christian race. It's for to be baptized, filled, overflowed with God's Holy Spirit until you say, Lord, I'm going to get up and keep on running. And God gives you the grace, God gives you the strength, and you stand up on your feet and you begin to walk before God. You begin to run this race of life and you don't faint. You give glory to God. You begin to walk with Him and stay with Him. Keep running. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few reasons for endurance. In verse 2 of our reading there, of our text, let us run with endurance the race set before. In verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Reasons for endurance. We look to Jesus. Here it means fixing one's eyes trustingly on the Savior. We need to consistently focus on Christ instead of our own circumstances. And Jesus is the author, the finisher, perfecter of our faith. And Christ has done everything necessary for us to endure and to have a faith. He is our example. He is our model. He focused on the joy that was set before him, and he endured the cross. Amen. Jesus, his attention was not on the agonies of the cross, but on the crown. Jesus' attention was not on how awful it was going to be to die a death of crucifixion, and it was awful. And I can tell you, he suffered just like any human being was, because he dwelt in fleshly body. He felt every pain, every nerve ending. He felt every pain that could come with the cruel means of execution that would be crucifixion. But his attention was not on the agony of the cross, but on the crown. Here he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy did he have? The joy of seeing millions. The joy of seeing you and I this morning come to Christ. The joy of seeing you and I not be lost for eternity. The joy of seeing you and I to be delivered and set free from our sins. The joy of seeing you not being committed to following the devil and all of his sinful things, but be committed to following him and end up in heaven with him forever. The joy that was set before him. My friend, if you don't have any joy this morning, I want to tell you something, friend. We've got a joyous walk with God. This race, not everything is good about it. There's some endurance to have, but I want to tell you that one day it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's going to be with us. We're going to be raptured in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be with Christ forever and ever. I know there's people that preach now that they don't believe in the rapture. If they want to stay here, that's their business, but I'm looking for the sound of a trumpet. Jesus will come, descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus in his earthly ministry endured some people. He endured the religious crowd, usually Pharisees and Sadducees, Herodians, others. And we will have to endure some people's words. You have probably. And you're going to have to endure some people's behavior and shameful accusations. But our deliverance from sin and eternal life depended upon Christ's endurance. That he didn't stop somewhere along the way and say, Father, I realize what you want me to do, but I just don't want to go to that cross. I don't want to do that. No. He prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he willingly, patiently took the cup of suffering for you and I and bore the guilt and the shame for my sin and yours on the cross that day. Amen. Peter comes to him one day and says, Lord, you're not going to go there. You're not going to do that. And Jesus considered that an act of the enemy against his fulfilling redemption's plan. He told Peter, said, get away from me, Satan, because you don't understand the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Man, it's a very strong rebuke. Man. And so Jesus would endure, and he endured the cross, he endured insults, he endured the mocking, he endured people saying, if you're the Son of God that you claim to be, come down from the cross and then we will believe. But he had done mighty signs, wonders, and miracles among them, and they still didn't believe. He had even raised the dead at various times, healed every sickness there was to heal. But he endured the cross, and he endured more than just the physical suffering. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. And with his stripes we were healed. And it says, all we, that's me and you, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. What a heavy weight that must have been, the every guilt that anybody's ever felt of any sin they've ever committed, or anything they ever, any kid that ever got caught at this or that or the other felt guilty about it, or even grown kids that felt guilty about what they got caught at. He bore that on the cross. And all we, it just left nobody out. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everybody needs Christ to be saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. But we can be born again of God's Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so, The reason for endurance is Jesus' example. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why endure? Because you and I must overcome things, sins, temptations, carnality that hinder our spiritual life. We must overcome some things. And you say, well, I failed. Well, if you failed, repent and get up and keep going. Amen. If you fall down when you're running the race, get up and start running again. God will give you strength to do so. In the book of James, it says, James 1 and 12, blessed or happy is the man who endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He's saying, temptations are going to come along. Just endure it. Amen. Say no to it. Get up and just keep on running. Amen. And reasons for endurance, because the spiritual battle we are in, we must keep running. And with God and by His help, we can not be a quitter but a winner. Praise the Lord. I was never in the military. My father was. He was a World War II veteran, and my brother was a Vietnam veteran. But I know that they talked about a lot of things, and they talked about basic training a lot. Anybody in here ever been through military basic training? There's a few of you have. Yeah? Okay. Then you can get up here and preach this better than I can, I'm sure. But in military basic training, people are taught obedience to commands. I mean, they take the spoiled brat that never had to do anything, and you will obey orders from the person that's in charge, because if they don't learn to obey commands, they perish in war, or can. They are taught to endure. And my daddy said this. He said, there's a lot of things that I couldn't stay up with everybody on, but he said, when it come to running or just doing something over and over, he said, I had the ability to endure. And he said, that's the reason I was able to make it. Amen. So God teaches us endurance. Quitters don't win and winners don't quit. And who benefits from endurance anyway? Well, we all have benefit from enduring in the race. If Jesus had not endured, there would be no eternal life, no eternal hope, no love, no future, only death and hell. I don't like that alternative, so I'm glad that Jesus endured. And we learn endurance. Amen. God teaches us to endure. And life is not one just of endurance. There's good things, there's better things, praise the Lord, but some things about life are endurance. Hebrews 10:36, it says, if you have need of endurance. And there may be people that are gathered here today. Lord, I need your help to endure what I'm facing right now, what I will face next week, or what I faced last week. Amen. But you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Your friend, we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to celebrate as overcomers. The churches in Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation, they were taught to endure. There were things wrong with the churches in Revelation. You say, well, there was nothing wrong in the Bible. Yeah, there was things wrong. That's the reason they were written. Because there were things wrong with peoples in the church in the Revelation. Amen. Some of them had lost their first love. Amen. Some of them had let carnality come in. Some of them had let Jezebel come in and preach. They were really in trouble then. Some of them were lukewarm. There were things wrong, and that's the reason Jesus addressed those churches, because he loved them. And he was telling them, overcome this, endure, because I've got a plan for overcomers. And friend, you can't overcome. You say, well, I'm weak. I am too. But God, the Christ that we serve, is not weak. He's not limp. He's not able to do nothing. He is able to do anything and everything. We serve a big God and a powerful God. Amen. We view him through small eyes sometimes, but I want to tell you, the creator of the ends of the earth, he walks with us. He talks with us. He's our God, our Lord, our Savior. We're not in control of him. He's in control of us. We don't tell him what to do. He tells us what to do, because he always does what's right. Amen. So all, if you want to read it, the Hebrews of Faith and Cloud of Witnesses in chapter 11, it'll build your faith. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says, consider him in our text here. Verse 3, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. If you compare what Jesus endured to what you're going through, there's really not much in comparison. He endured so much more. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus endured hostility from sinners. He would die to make a way of redemption for you and I. On the cross, Jesus endured physical sufferings and spiritual sufferings so we could be saved. As a matter of fact, He knew what it was to die without the attention of His Heavenly Father being upon Him. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus wasn't lost, no. His last words on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So we know He was with the Father, but He did. He spent 3 days in the heart of the earth. But you and I must consider Him. Consider what Jesus endured for our salvation, lest we become discouraged and let discouragement rob us of eternal things. You and I have not been required at this point to shed blood for the cause of Christ. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. There are people today that have. There are people all throughout church history that have paid with their lives for their faith. And it's happening in many places today in our world still. But we must consider Him. Consider what Jesus endured for our salvation. God had eternal purposes. He cared about your eternity. Amen. Where you would spend forever. We have not been required to shed blood for our faith. As of yet, we need to pray for those who are the persecuted church, because there's many that are today. Let me end with this illustration. One of the last people to ever see an apostle alive was that of Polycarp. And he was a disciple of John. And he was the last one to have known one of the apostles. And at Rome, he was required to surrender to atheism of Rome or else to be burned at the stake. And all he had to do was just to shout out, Lord Caesar. But Caesar wasn't his Lord. And in his last words, Polycarp stated this, his 86 years I have served him, Jesus. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And it says the fires begin to come up and to take Polycarp's life as he was burned at the stake. But he didn't cry out, Lord Caesar. He said, Lord Jesus, He alone is Lord. Praise God. He endured. I can be sure you can assure you He's shouting on the hills of glory today. Praise the Lord. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord.